Welcome back to Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. Sammy Hoy is the president of the Maryland Institute College of Art and arguably one of the city's most important cultural leaders. Last May, we spoke on graduation day for MICA students just before he gave his second commencement address since his appointment to the MICA presidency in 2014. In that reflective mood, we talked about how the training of creative artists encompasses much more than lessons in painting and sculpture, and how both emerging and established artists have responded to the uprising of the spring of 2015. Sammy, it's great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Tom, for having me on the show.
Your tenure at MICA, the 2 years you've been here, has straddled the uprising of last April. So you were here for about a year before that happened,
right.
And now you've been here for about a year after that's happened. What's your take on what has changed in the 2 short years that you've been here in Baltimore and how the paroxysms that the city went through has affected your students and your institution, MICA?
Well, I think the larger context of the city has gone through some very interesting changes over the last 2 years. The underlying dynamics remain pretty much the same, but I think the civic unrest related to Freddie Gray's death certainly has awakened the kind of consciousness of the city for people to be not be able to take for granted or let passively. Let the inequity in the city's history and reality stand. I think that's a very hopeful public will that everyone really realizes that we have to work together now to not only address the strong parts of the city, but we have to find ways pervasively through the city to lift inequity and remedy that situation. And so that provides a fantastic social context for a school that's very civically minded. I think one of the merits of MICA is that we have always thought of kind of art and design education in the larger socio-economic context, not just in the cultural arena. So I think that allows our faculty and students to be even more imaginative and engaging with different dimensions of the city to create truly reciprocal kind of learning, giving experiences that kind of city partners and us are 50-50 partners, really trying to improve wellness, for all, and then also for faculty and cities to learn in the meantime.
And that's a much broader portfolio than the traditional art school used to have. This notion of being connected in a very real way. Sometimes it's a financial connection. It's certainly an emotional connection. It's certainly a physical connection. Your students are living in the city. Some are doing work in some of our most impoverished neighborhoods. That's a very different model, isn't it, than 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when people went to art school to learn how to paint and sculpt and do stuff.
Yeah, I think the days of the lone genius artist working in a studio is long, long over. And nowadays, the possibilities for creative professionals, or what we call creatives now, to contribute on many different levels really necessitate an art school to think very deeply and broadly about our roles in society and how we actually teach our students and learn from them. At the same time, they bring actually a lot of assets and resources to the college and to the faculty and the staff. So I think MICA has always been the forefront of that kind of wide angle view of art and design education. So MICA was one of the first schools that created a social design program.
What's a social design program? What does that mean?
Yeah, social design is a one-year master level program at MICA in which we really look at how design thinking can work with complex issues in society, whether it's poverty or HIV prevention or housing issues, and bring kind of creative minds to work alongside other sectors and public policymakers or community leaders to co-fashion solutions but really bring the unique thinking of artists and designers to the table. And I think that kind of insertion in a way of or embedment of kind of creative intervention was very new when this program was founded, and also it has been a leading program in the country and actually in the world.
That's wild. I mean, I think for a lot of people it would come as a big surprise to think that you can go to MICA and think about poverty and HIV and housing issues.
Absolutely. Yeah, and also our students have actually actually terrific career outcomes. So one of our current year graduate actually is working with the government in D.C. and then intern in a very good position. And then her work is so impressive, that position is now being turned into a full-time position. And also... and this is actually just one program, but I would say the kind of civic engagement spirit is to be through the school. We have an office of community engagement that works with AmeriCorps and teaching, and many of the participants, most of them MICA students, actually teach after school arts program or engage in other kind of social programs.
How do you make the argument that these creatives, as we call them now, people who in many cases, work in different platforms, you're no longer just a painter. I mean, you're doing painting, you're a slam poet, you've got a band, and you've got a startup. How do you make the argument that the training at an art school like MICA is going to really prepare that person to make contributions in a really meaningful way to the companies and foundations and institutions that are, trying to move society in general forward?
Sure. Well, let me start by saying that we still love painting, we still love photography, we still love sculpture. So for those students who choose to focus solely on that, we would want them to do so. But at the same time, as times change and possibilities expand for our graduates, just like when photography first was invented, I think painting felt very threatened, this new technology had come along and it's going to kill the current practice and medium, and that proved not to be the case. I think what happened at the end is that the spectrum of expression and possibilities just got extended. So in many ways, the reason kind of MICA has added these kind of social opportunities for creatives to contribute to society in powerful ways, it's a way of extension. And we're doing actually more than just actually community engaged work. For example, later on, we can talk about actually the entrepreneurial training we are now bringing to MICA as well. So we are really very actively thinking about how do we extend the spectrum of preparation for our graduates so that they can choose whoever they want to be when they exit MICA and go into the world. And we also want them to give them the richest toolbox possible to combine personal success with, I would say, worldly and societal contributions.
On 88.1 WIPR, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Sammy Hoy is my guest this morning. He is the president of MICA, the Maryland Institute College of Art. They celebrate their commencement today. This afternoon, the undergraduates will get their diplomas, and this evening at 5 o'clock at the Meyerhoff, the graduate students will get theirs. We did a panel, you and me and Marin Alsop and Kwame Kwe Arma, from Center Stage. Marin, of course, the music director of the Baltimore Symphony. We were discussing things at the Light City event that happened, I guess, about a month ago.
Terrific event.
And the theme was innovation and imagination about moving the city forward. It was very much focused on these problems of inequity and racial and economic inequality that undergirded the violence that we experienced last year. And we talked about the actual practical real life things that arts institutions like the Symphony or Center Stage or MICA or the Choral Arts Society for that matter can do to move the ball forward, to make progress. And on the one hand, it seems unlikely that institutions like that would be able to help when the problems tend to be identified as, these are folks who have health problems. They have, they're living in crime, areas of high crime that, are just so difficult to survive in. There's food deserts. There's, access to jobs and opportunities is limited. How does an institution like MICA or the Symphony or anything else actually make a difference for the folks who are living in Harlan Park and Sandtown, Winchester, and Oliver?
Well, I think we have to enter this kind of joint solution arena with a great degree of imagination and humility. We have to know that we can contribute a lot, but also be aware that we cannot be the sole provider of solutions. I think these are very comprehensive issues, and therefore they require very comprehensive solution. And the very rich and diverse cultural assets and creative assets of a city are native strains of Baltimore. And it'll be inconceivable in a way to have any real solution without incorporating part of having kind of the arts being part of the team that would come up with, you know, different kind of remedies. But at the same time, the arts cannot do it alone. So I think we are really trying very hard to convince others, you know, how can we can build this multi-sector, you know, partnership in coming together. So for example, our social design program, actually one of the most impressive projects during the last few years about urban farming, you know, how can we work with community members to identify the needs and kind of bring urban farming to food deserts, you know, in the city. That's just one example. But that would not be alone. It has to really couple with, you know, public housing policy, with, you know, social services and, you know, other and transportation, safety, et cetera. So I think that we are really trying to be part of the infrastructure and part of ecosystem that really will bring strong solutions, you know, to city. If you think about what is the future for Baltimore? I think one of the natural destinations of Baltimore is to become a capital for creative and innovation. And a lot of innovations is already happening in technology sector. This region is one of the strongest actually tech sector now. And we have a lot of you know, health innovation going on with, you know, Johns Hopkins, University of Maryland, Baltimore, and other, you know, great institutions. This is a Ed and Meds town. So how can we bring kind of cultural and design creativity, you know, into the formula so that we actually can and have a combustible level of success? If you think about Apple products, it's a combination of technology and, you know, design and actually and service thinking. Really, those are the three components that really are so successful. So I think in the current thinking, what is missing is that active incorporation of, you know, artists and designers, and we hope that, you know, Michael will be able to contribute. And we are also thinking very aggressively about how to use the creative economy to kind of lift the city, but not just focusing in the corridor of success, which extends from downtown to Mount Vernon to some, you know, Station North, which is a kind of emerging corridor of area of success, but to think about how we can use the innate capacity of human beings to be creative, to nurture and bring diverse citizens from many, many neighborhoods around the city into the opportunities to be successful through creativity. And we actually have an initiative that we are launching right now and fundraising for to do so.
We'll just talk about that in a minute on 88.1. That's Sammy Hoy. He's the president of MICA. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Maryland Morning. There are a couple of articles a year or two ago, places like The Atlantic Magazine and The Economist, and they tried to equate the investment that a student would make in going to art school with the investment that that student would, with the return on investment that she would get from, you know, getting a job. And mm-hmm. and basically the thrust of these articles was, don't go to art school. I mean, it's just, you know, get a real job, in other words. That's nothing new to artists. Mm-hmm. Artists have been hearing that since time eternal. But there are others who say that the MFA, the Master's in Fine Arts, is the new MBA, the Master's in Business mm-hmm. Administration. What's your take on that?
Well, first of all, I think it's unfortunate that some of the media and even some of the kind of government attention has been focusing on the first job out of school being the measure of return on investment, while we should be looking at the lifelong success and lifelong skills building of actually graduates of not just art school, but, you know, colleges of education as being the true return on investment. So national studies have shown that while, you know, art school graduates may not have the highest paying first job, they are by far the happiest cohort of graduates of any disciplines in a lifelong basis. They also stay in their fields of studies or having doing work related to the field of studies by many, many percents more than many other, you know, disciplines. So I think we have to kind of focus on that. But at the same time, the notion that the MFA is the MBA does have a lot of merit these days because we have basically seen kind of the failure or the insufficiency of traditional kind of linear thinking and kind of the more creative kind of associative thinking artists and designers, I think, can bring a different kind of approach to solve many of the social and environmental issues that we have nowadays. And I think, again, this is the kind of education MICA is trying to, you know, fashion, is to look at, you know, where does creativity, innovation really reside, and how can we partner our students and faculty with, you know, other sectors. I think the future also lies in this very active interaction between, you know, art and design and technology, business, health, and sciences for, again, the most comprehensive, most innovative possibilities.
Let's talk about this entrepreneurship program at MICA that you mentioned. Last week, Nathan Sterner here on our show talked to three students at MICA who were awarded sort of startup money, startup grants. It was kind of like Shark Tank on television, where you pitch ideas for businesses.
Yeah. One of them, we do it in a much kinder way. At
One of them, she was doing microgreens. Another was creating a podcast, and another was creating venues and platforms for artists. And you actually gave them a chunk of change. It was several hundred thousand dollars was distributed, I think. Where'd that come from? That's from an art school. I mean, giving money to their students to start businesses.
Right. Well, first of all, we have to thank the Philip E. and Carol R. Radcliffe Foundation. They really had the foresight of coming to MICA and partnering with us to re-infuse entrepreneurship into art design training, which is quite rare still nowadays. And our belief is that, again, artists and designers, they are, in a way, they have been participate in the gig economy and have been entrepreneurs actually even before entrepreneurship becomes a hot and trendy word. Because if you think about you know, artists and designers, many of them are freelancers, and many of them also very comfortable in working with multiple identities. You know, they could be teaching one day and creating art the next day, and then volunteering nonprofits, you know, sometimes in the same part of the day. So that kind of flexibility, that kind of, you know, comfort with inventing kind of one's, you know, livelihood, and be able to also reinvent oneself, one's practice, time and again over a lifetime, kind of anticipates the current you know, kind of contingency, kind of, you know, worker economy. And so if we think about that, we really feel that what we need is actually bring some of the principles of venture capital and also entrepreneurship, again, more imaginatively into art and design education. So we very boldly hired a entrepreneurship evangelist on campus last year. And based on that, we actually created a kind of pitch and pop-up competition.
Is this person's title is actually entrepreneurship evangelist?
That's correct.
Lord,
that's
I can correct. Imagine what she wears.
Yes. So I think it's one way to kind of bust the perception, the stereotypical perception that this doesn't belong in art school. I think it actually belongs in art school. Yeah. I think, yes. And so I think we actually have students advertise the program, and I think with $100,000 to be distributed, and at the end of the year, it's very attractive. And any students who are interested in participate have to go through entrepreneurship boot camp. And then eventually, this is going to be incorporated into the curriculum at MICA.
All right. We have a very busy day, sir. We're going to let you get on to your other duties, and thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much.
Always good to see you. Sammy Hoy is the president of the Maryland Institute College of Art, a post he's held since 2014. We spoke last May as he was about to preside at MICA's 191st commencement ceremony. We've got a link to MICA on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Coming up after a break for the news, theater critic J. Wynn Russick joins me with a review of Hand to God at the Studio Theater in Washington. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Stick around.